Welcome to Plot Spackle.
From this point forward, there will be spoilers.
You've been warned.
Welcome to Plot Spackle. I'm John, and I once set my backyard on fire.
And I'm Eric. I shot BBs through my parents' windows.
I'm Richard, and I almost lit my house on fire.
And that's things we did when we were unattended and minors. So guys, what are we going to fill our plot holes with today?
I think what we should do, we should fill it with all these stolen Christmas packages and clogged sinks. And we could even have that be our special sign, our special tagline. We could call ourselves the Wet Podcasters. Every great podcaster has their own tagline. That could be ours.
I thought ours was Welcome to Plot Spackle. It was like our name.
Yeah.
It's Plot Spackle.
We even got stickers and everything.
But now we'll be one of the great podcasters with more... Well, we won't have merch yet, but...
I think you got too much from watching this movie. Like, it changed you. You're a changed man, Eric.
No, that's plus, not until the sequel, when I become the sticky podcaster and I steal change from the Salvation Army.
With a duct tape hand. So, if you haven't caught on, and you were kind of slow, or weren't a kid in the 90s/80s, like late 80s, early 90s, if you were alive.
You probably would have watched it in the late 90s, at least.
Like, it's been on TV, like, after Thanksgiving.
Or possibly
forever.
You were a fan of Christmas home invasion films.
Oh, yeah. Die Hard.
Yeah, we're talking about Home Alone and filling its plot holes.
So, for all you who have not seen this film, here's a little quick plot synopsis, one of those two words. Home Alone is about a kid. His name is Kevin McAllister. He gets left home because he's kind of a spoiled brat. I mean, growing up, I kind of sympathize with Kevin, but now, like, as an adult, I watch him and I'm like, wow, he is a spoiled brat. He needs a good spanking or something. Well, he gets left behind as his family takes a fun-filled trip to Paris, realizing in Paris that he actually isn't with them. And during that time, two inept home invaders decide that they're going to try and take on this 8-year-old kid. How smart or dangerous could he be? Turns out, very. And unfortunately, criminals do not have good health insurance, so that's definitely coming out of pocket.
So what's our fun facts?
So, it launched the 16th of November, back in 1990, had an $18 million budget, and earned $17 million in the opening weekend. Grossed in the U.S., $285 million, and cumulative worldwide, we're looking at about $533 million.
Should have been an investor in that movie.
Yeah.
You said it had, $18 million was the budget? Budget. So, another fun fact. If the you said it was $18 million budget. If they were to buy the house in today's money, it would only be 8% of the entire budget. That house sold recently for $1.5 million. So, pretty good chunk of change.
And if you want the great absurd tagline off of the movie poster for this one, when the McAllisters went on holiday, they forgot one minor detail. Kevin. But don't worry. He cooks, he cleans, he kicks some butt.
All right.
When did he clean?
At the end of the movie.
Actually, he
oh, he cleans pretty laundry. Clean.
Yeah, he does his laundry. He keeps, like, he cleans up after his ice cream decision.
He doesn't clean up Buzz's room. That's, like, the only thing he doesn't clean, but...
Yeah, he cleans up and decorates for Christmas.
That would have been a really different movie if it was for Halloween. But it was still, like, Christmas time. He would have been put on a watch list after that.
Just to let the robbers know they're in trouble, because they're like, it's Christmas. And like, oh no, there's skeletons hanging. That's a warning.
Pirate she be warned. But yeah, so we're here and we're going to fill a couple plot holes. And we got a good list from the Comedy Central website. But spoiler warning, they're not really plot holes.
Yeah. No, they're mostly minor complaints.
I mean, the first one on our list is, watching Home Alone as an adult and the magic is gone. If an adult felt like that, he'd be dead. I hurt my knees just getting out of bed today. But that doesn't actually change the plot of this film. It's not a plot hole. You're just old.
Yeah, and obviously not as in good condition as these robbers. Maybe you should do more sit-ups and eat less donuts. Maybe some squats every now and then.
Well, how about
stretches?
This one? How about this one? The older I get, the more I wonder what Kevin McAllister's dad did to afford his home and a trip to Paris for 9 people.
Worked in finances.
Did finances for the mob.
Won the lottery.
Or he had a good, well, he had a good paying job. But how about, you know, the 9 people?
He was the general contractor on several important politicians' houses.
Or I don't know, he just made a lot of money. That's...
Yeah.
Look, with just a small loan loan of $5 million from his father.
Yeah, look, he lives in the nice neighborhood. He's well-dressed. It always implies that he is well-off. Like, there's no question about it. I don't know what job he does specifically, because it isn't going into it, because it's not important to the plot. Just the fact that he's going on vacation is.
He probably bought the house when it was relatively cheap, and he had a good paying job.
After successfully booby-trapping his entire house, why is Kevin so impressed by the old bloke with a snow shovel?
Listen, those robbers took 2 or 3 paint cans to the face that didn't knock him out. But one snow shovel, they're laid out flat.
Yeah, Kevin put those guys through the ringer, and that didn't stop them. One old dude with a snow shovel? Dude's got snow shovel foo.
And I think it's more of an emotional moment for him, because he made friends with this old guy that he was afraid of before.
Yeah, he...
And it shows a bit of how Kevin has improved as a person at that point.
Yeah, all we know is the old guy will take the bodies and turn them into mummies.
With his salt.
Anyways.
Slightly salty.
Yeah.
Home Alone teaches us that a child can't pack a suitcase, but he can create a fully functional flamethrower to harm a small New Jersey man.
So, it's not that hard to make a flamethrower. Let's be honest, guys. Anyone with Axe spray deodorant can make a flamethrower.
They didn't have Axe body spray back then.
Oh, but they had other things.
They had hairspray.
General hairspray was good enough. Any sort of aerosol with the flammable warning on the side.
And I think that one was an actual like blowtorch.
Oh yeah, he already had it was an actual tool. He just had to pull a safety off.
I think that tool is like, that tool specifically, you use it to unfreeze your pipes. So it is specifically designed to shoot flames out.
Yeah. Well, mostly the setup was the string course setup.
So it pulled a handle.
Yeah.
But another thing too, like, so there's, I think they said there's 15 people in that house and Kevin's the only one making trouble. That sounds a lot like a call for help. Or he just wants attention. That's why he hasn't packed a suitcase.
Yeah. Or he was just unsure of what to bring, and he wanted to make sure that he, you know, didn't cause problems later. And he just wanted his family to care, because, like Kevin, they're all selfish, self-centered people. Like, it runs in the family. I'm betting the dad was a Wolf of Wall Street.
Probably.
Yeah.
Let's see. Next one. The moral of Home Alone is don't have children. No, have children. They are a good source of expendable labor. Well, I get not a great source. They take, like... 3 years even to get, like, beast of burden worthy.
Yeah, but he was able to use them as tax breaks to afford that house.
Also, I think more specifically, the moral is care about your family, even the small annoying child, and take him with you to Paris and don't leave him behind.
Man, that would have been an important moral lesson for my childhood.
Oh, but we have another one. How come when Home Alone Kevin just never just wandered to a school buddy's house and, in the words of this sentence, and was like, "Hey fam, I crash." That was not me. That was what was written.
Because people didn't talk like that in 1990. That's why.
They would have been like, "Sup my radical cuz." I don't know what else they would say, because I wasn't that cool of a kid. But
tubular.
And cowabunga, probably. He's an 8-year-old kid. He's just going to be quoting Ninja Turtles. Let's be honest.
Look, you think he has a lot of friends?
No, he was a small and annoying child.
But another thing too, the entire neighborhood was on vacation.
Yeah, it's true.
That's kind of why the robbers were targeting that place.
Because, you know, they went in, found out the details of their automatic light system, got the people to tell them how long they were going to be gone, because they dressed up like a police officer, and got all those sweet details in the rich street with all the good stuff.
So maybe we should actually move into real plot holes, guys.
Oh, are there actual plot holes?
There are.
Hey, let's hear these.
So one of the actual plot holes is, how does the McAllister family make it to Paris without noticing that their child is gone? How do they get through? How do they board the plane without noticing, oh, hey, where's our kid?
Well, see, I don't consider this a plot hole, because the movie does spend quite a bit of time and small explanations to add up to the full story. First off, we have the neighbor kid who's there at the shuttle.
And sorry to cut you off, but he also, like, breaks into their suitcases and starts playing with toys in there.
Yeah, yeah. And so he
gets a weirdo. What a klepto.
Yeah. He's wearing the same hat. He blends in, and the older sister counts him, and so they have the right number. Then they're in a rush to the airport. They lost a boarding pass that fell into the garbage can when they were cleaning up the milk on pizza mess.
So you shouldn't ever do.
Throw out your boarding pass?
Drink milk with it while eating pizza.
What are you talking about? Drinking milk with pizza is amazing.
It's terrible.
Okay, Richard.
It seems like a cereal with water thing. Like, you can do it, but you shouldn't.
It is definitely not a cereal with water thing, because I'll tell you why. Milk is a palate cleanser, and pizza is an amazing dish.
That's why Papa John's gives you the little pepperoncinis to give you a different flavor.
No, you eat the pepperoncinis with the pizza to give it a slight kick to it. But no, the milk cleanses off your tongue. So it's like, oh man, what a delicious slice of pizza. Take a bite.
I do have one question for you, Eric.
Yeah.
Are we plot speckle or pizza speckle?
Guys, I have a new idea for a podcast.
Just keep your pizza heresies to yourself.
It is not a heresy, and yesterday's heresies are today's religions.
You can't... Oh, I was going to say you can't spell Harrison without heresy, but I don't want to have your name on the podcast, so you'll cut it.
I comment enough on... whatever. No one listens to us anyways.
Yeah.
So basically what we've come to is that eating milk and pizza is okay.
No, it's not.
All right. Well, I'll just cut that. That part, specifically Richard's part. Could you... Let's see. Okay, yeah, I can see that. I could cut Richard's part. I'll make him agree with me if he doesn't like it.
Creative editing. Yeah, it's true.
Yep.
All right, so, yeah, so we lose a boarding pass, so they're not going to notice boarding pass numbers off. The parents are in first class, where the kids are in coach, and it does say that they are sitting separately.
So they probably just bought, like, oh, here's a seat over here, here's a seat over here, just... You know, the guy is rich, but he's not frivolous. He's going to get the best deal he can.
Let's be honest. All of the people were just like, oh, I'm so glad I'm not sitting next to Kevin.
Yeah, they didn't have a buddy system going, and it was tense, and Kevin wasn't making anyone happy. And final nail in this coffin, so they didn't realize Kevin was missing when they reached Paris. He was on the flight, and it was after they had taken off. Like they were in...
Like they were.
They can't just turn the airplane around because some lady thinks her kid's missing.
They were probably, I don't know, how far were they over? It's just like, so what time did they leave? They left in the morning, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think they noticed until like it was nighttime on the plane. So that's probably at least a good 4 or 5 hours. Or it was like, I think it was like dark on the plane, like sleep. Like, it was supposed to be sleeping time or whatever. I don't know. I don't go on plane flights, so I don't know if there's a general sleep time.
Yeah, I think it all depends on the length of the flight. I believe they are going straight from Chicago to Paris, though.
So, I mean, if anything, they're going to go maybe over the Arctic Circle and swing around. I mean, that might be hard on a flat Earth, but on a globe, that's fairly easy.
Yeah, it's still like an 8-hour flight.
So let's say they get their flights at 10, or is it... I don't think it really matters. It's in the morning, I know that. Because they wake up, and they're like, we're late. And they only have like 15 minutes after they actually get to the airport to get on their plane. Anyways.
And then they're dealing with going east, so it's going to be later in Paris when they land anyway. So
I think it's fairly well into the trip.
Yeah, so I feel like this is one of those plot holes where it's just someone kind of being a smart aleck. To be honest, Home Alone is from an era where they did spend a lot of time making sure they covered the basic core concept of the film as making sense. And them leaving the kid behind, they set it up to make him sense. He didn't sleep with anyone else. He was up in the attic. They make sure that you see the boarding pass go in the garbage can. They're all separated. And then later, yes, they do realize. What's our other big plot hole here?
So, the other big plot hole centers around the McAllister's phone lines, because early in the film, a tree falls and damages the phone line near the home.
Or the power lines, specifically. Power and phone lines.
Power and phone lines. Which is presumably why the McAllister's can't call Kevin, because the phone lines are down. But Kevin's able to order a pizza. So are the phones broken or not?
Well, what if the phones are simultaneously broken and not, depending on the level of
break? We haven't invented quantum phone lines yet, John.
I'm pretty sure Schrodinger had talked about his crappy cell phone service at this point. His cell phone is either connected to the network or it's not. And as soon as he turns the cell phone over, he knows. I'm pretty sure he talked about that.
But you would know because you could get a text without even looking.
Yeah, but you're still quote-unquote observing it because you heard the text noise.
Yeah, but it is possible that he could have still been connected to the local network, but had problems in a longer distance. And you'd assume that the pizza place that's within delivery range would be connected. It's a kind of a rare thing, but it is plausible.
Well, and the bigger thing with it is that it's based off of the older actual analog style telephone switchboards. Where if you're connected on a local network, then it's a lot easier to work than the long distance lines. going like the main trunk out of a city.
So yeah, like someone actually asked the CEO or one of the head honchos of AT&T. So is this actually a thing? Like they were asking, do phone lines have two separate lines, one for local and one for long distance? It's like, well, we don't really have that now, but back in the 90s, yeah, we had a separate for long distance. So the local lines were probably repaired first, because I don't know what the actual percentage is, but how many times are you actually calling long distance? So the phone company was probably like, okay, prioritize people. We'll get the local lines first, then we'll get the long distance. Unfortunately, they needed the long distance at this moment, but that's kind of them's the breaks, I guess.
And so, yeah, there's not a lot of plot holes really with Home Alone. It's not a complicated story.
I guess the real, like, the only plot holes really are how the wet bandits survive, like, all those, all the beatings they take.
Yeah.
What they never talk about is that they're actually descendants of the Three Stooges. And we're,
I can see that.
Are immune to slapstick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're very resilient to slapstick. I'd also posit that the damage they take and the reactions are exaggerated because it's kind of how the thieves are seeing the events happening to them.
Maybe it's the thieves, like, describing their
it's what they say in the police report.
Well, they probably wouldn't say anything in the police report because, well, maybe Marv would. Harry wouldn't, because he's the one who tells them, shut up, you know. Because they, he knows to have the they have the right to remain silent.
Mm-hmm.
But Harry wants to be.
He wants to be famous.
He wants to be famous. He wants to be the wet bandits.
Or more specifically, infamous.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do take a brutal beating. They get paint cans to the face. Get your head set on fire. The hot doorknob.
Hot doorknob is bad. I think the one that makes me cringe the most, though, is the nail in the foot.
Oh, that's because you've experienced it.
I actually have not experienced it.
Oh, you've never done it?
I've never put a nail through my foot.
Oh, yeah. It's painful.
Yeah, I imagine so.
See, the one for me is the ice on the stairs.
Oh, that one. Oh, the would slipping. Hurt so much.
Yeah, when he's going down to the basement and there's all the ice on the concrete.
Have you never slipped on ice either?
I've slid on ice.
You should know it's painful. Yeah. We're tall. We have a long time to think about our mistake on the way down.
Well,
it's not like you just fall. And I was like, you start falling and you're like, oh, well, I'm falling.
So I kind of have an experience like that. This was back in high school. I took a girl on a date to an ice rink. And, you know, ice, it's basically more compacted snow. And snow is kind of soft. But because this was the first time I had actually been ice skating, like I'm falling down and I hit the ice. And then I realize, oh, ice is definitely not as soft as snow. It's just water. It's definitely a lot harder than snow. And it's definitely not fun to fall on ice.
It's also important to note that here we have hard water.
I don't think that applies, but I mean, I'm not I'm not an aquaologist, so I don't know. I just can't dispute it.
So what's everyone's thoughts on Home Alone? I mean, I remember watching it, and it's like it's a cultural thing. I remember the commercials for like Home Alone 2. He has the Walkman.
The Talk Boy?
Yeah, the Talk Boy.
I had one of those growing up.
I wanted one of those.
I used
Who
it.
Didn't
I used it to make? This is going to sound really nerdy of me, but I used it to make a soundtrack of the Return of the Jedi music because I didn't have it on, or I didn't have any of the Star Wars music. But being a Star Wars fan growing up, like I really want this soundtrack, so I set it to the TV and started recording. It wasn't as good a quality as the movie, but
oh, of course not. But I mean, it's not as impressive as the show.
Yeah. But not Home Alone 2, or Home Alone 2 was fun. I think it's better than Home Alone 1 almost, but Home Alone 1 is definitely a good Christmas movie. Transition the kids into the diehard mood.
Where you know, the fight against the outsiders.
There's an infographic out there that someone made showing how Home Alone is basically diehard for kids.
So here's a question. Do you think Kevin McAllister becomes John McClane?
Or Jigsaw.
Oh, definitely Jigsaw. Because John McClane is more of an improviser, whereas Jigsaw is definitely planned out. So, well, John McClane already exists in the would already have existed like previous to this. So he was already a thing.
So those of you who are not aware, it's one of those crackpot theories on the internet that Kevin McAllister becomes the villain from the Saw horror series because of their both penchant for devious, twisted traps. So I think they did a good job. Like, the Wet Bandits are simultaneously goofy and they can be quite menacing still.
I mean, they're pretty menacing at the very end.
Like, yeah, you're afraid for Kevin when they actually catch up to him, and like you're afraid that they're going to do stuff the whole time. But at the same time, you're not surprised when they make these screw-ups where mm-hmm. like Kevin's winning.
Yep. But then they're just like, we're just done with this. Go past all of Kevin's traps.
So what are your thoughts on Home Alone, Richard? You've been quiet.
So I enjoyed it a lot more as a kid than I do now. Like, it's still a fun movie, but watching it again, I do sympathize a lot more with the bandits, because I really don't like Kevin.
He's definitely an annoying young kid.
But then again, we all were once. Whether or not you want to believe it, Eric, I could see the face you were making.
Well, I was just debating to say, well, my mother said I was an angel, but I remember so was Satan.
Oh, that's pretty funny. All right, well, I think that's it for our Home Alone episode. Put you in the Christmas spirit.
So
if anyone comes to your house unexpected, make sure they meet some traps.
And that's anyone. It might be, I don't know. They may say that they're actually your friend from high school or whatever. Don't trust them. Make sure you put the heating iron on the doorknob.
And really, turn up that fireplace. Can you trust a fat man who comes down the chimney?
But if you have any devious traps and like to share them with us so that, well, if in case we try and break into your house, we don't get mutilated, let us know on our Twitter at PlotSpacklePod.
Or on Facebook at PlotSpacklePodcast.
We also have a Patreon. Go support us there.
We talk about, every once in a while, I'll talk about things that I got way too into in researching.
You can also listen to the unedited copies of these shows.
Raw.
You can hear the like 15 minutes of talking we do before we actually decide to talk about this.
Oh, also, don't forget to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. That really helps us.
And we just might read your review.
No, we will definitely read the review.
Well, what if we get like 1,000 reviews in one day? I'm not reading that.
I will. I'll sit here and I'll be like, all right, Mr. So-and-so, this was your review. And we'll call you out on it. Well, not call you out, but anyways.
All right. Well, thanks for listening.
And have a ho-ho holiday.
Boo. Boo.
Listen, I can make dad jokes.
That is how you become the wet podcaster, Eric.